Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. November 6th is Election Day, and there are lots of statewide offices on the ballot. Here at the 21st, we've been interviewing candidates who are running for those positions: comptroller, treasurer, attorney general, and governor. Starting today and over the next week, you'll hear those interviews. You can also find them later at our website, 21stshow.org. This morning, we're sitting down with J.B. Pritzker. He's a Chicago venture capitalist, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, and he's the Democratic nominee for governor of Illinois, and he joins us from our partner station WUIS in Springfield. J.B. Pritzker, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Nyla. Great to talk to you again.
You know, I feel like I've talked to quite a few folks who say they have been turned off by both the amount of money spent on this campaign and, frankly, the personal wealth that both you and Governor Rauner have. And they wonder how someone like J.B. Pritzker can relate to the problems of a middle or lower income person in Illinois.
Well, Nyla, I've spent my life standing up for working families all across the state of Illinois and the nation. As you probably know, I've spent decades as a national leader in early childhood education, fighting for quality preschool and child care for our most at-risk kids. I helped to expand President Obama's No Kid Hungry program to 230,000 more kids in the state so they could get school breakfast. These are kids who wouldn't otherwise get breakfast in the morning. And, you know, I led the effort to build a museum that teaches more than 120,000 kids and adults to fight bigotry, hatred, and intolerance. I was the chairman of the Illinois Human Rights Commission in Illinois, which is the civil rights court where people bring their discrimination claims. And I founded 1871, which is the world's best incubator, and it's here in Illinois. 7,000 jobs have been created there and hundreds of companies. So I have real experience and bring that to the fore. But also, you know, I'm somebody who has fought for working families my whole life. And I think that's the important thing that voters are responding positively to.
Many of the people who are listening to this program live in the biggest cities outside of Chicago across Illinois, and we've been hearing those residents share how concerned they are about growing the economies in their town. And I'm thinking specifically of a question we got recently from a student in Decatur who was worried about the economic state of his community. If you were elected governor, what would you be doing to invest in towns outside of Chicago?
Well, this is one of the very earliest things that I addressed as a candidate. I think it's very important that someone who lives in Chicago understands the challenges that people are going through all across the state of Illinois. And that's why throughout this campaign, I've probably spent more time with more people across downstate Illinois than any other statewide candidate in a long time. And we put forward from the very earliest moments of this campaign a plan to create jobs in central and southern Illinois, as well as in Rockford and other areas. It's been neglected by Bruce Rauner, my opponent. He talks as if he's from downstate, but he's from Chicago, and he's done nothing for downstate Illinois, where I understand that jobs are critically important. We've got to make healthcare more readily available and lower cost, and I put a plan forward for doing that. And then we've got to make higher education more affordable for people, and I put forward a plan for doing that, including allowing people to refinance their college debt at a lower cost so they can put hundreds and thousands of dollars back on the table. So downstate Illinois has been a real focus of our campaign. And I bet you if you add up the number of times that I've been in downstate Illinois throughout this campaign, that it eclipses virtually any candidate you can remember.
I know you're going to be in Rockford later today. We've got folks listening from Rockford right now. What would you say in terms of what? Can you share some specifics about what you would do to create more jobs in Rockford?
Yes. So there are two things that I think we should be focusing on in Rockford, among many others, but I'll be talking about those today. One is that, you know, Rockford's got this terrific airport that provides a real economic development engine for that area of the state as well as for the city itself. So we should be doing everything we can to bring federal dollars from Washington, D.C. to help expand that airport, as well as to help build economic development and job opportunities around the airport. So that's going to be a focus of our efforts, our discussion later today. And I also put forward a plan for helping small businesses in Rockford and other cities across the state of Illinois. Small businesses create the vast majority of jobs. More than two-thirds of the jobs get created by people who start businesses and grow them. And we ought to have a governor who understands that. I've spent my entire career really helping people build small businesses into larger ones. And I know what it takes: capital, It takes technical assistance and mentorship. It's why when I built 1871, it's now become the number one business incubator in the world. And I think we can do that all across the state of Illinois. So Rockford is going to be a focus of effort in that regard.
You mentioned higher education, and I wanted to ask you about that as well, especially as we're thinking about higher education and our universities being economic engines in certain places. I'm thinking of Charleston in particular and the layoffs that happened at Eastern Illinois University. I know you've talked about funding our public institutions at a level that they were at a couple of years ago. Is that specifically what you would do, and where would the money come from?
Well, there's so much more that we can do than just talk about funding. But, you know, look, Bruce Rauner cut funding for higher education by 20% and proposed a 30% cut in higher education. And as a result of that, 72,000 kids have chosen not to go to school in the state of Illinois over the course of his term. And people talk about out-migration from the state. Well, guess what? Many of those 72,000 kids left the state to go to school. And when they leave, 70% of them don't come back. And those are our best economic resources that are leaving the state. And then they're also our kids. We should want them to be here. We've got great universities and colleges in the state. But when you cut funding from programs that kids want to go to, when faculty get laid off in a massive wave across the state as a result of Bruce Rauner's failures, we are going to lose ground. So we've got to put back the damage that, you know, and repair the damage that Bruce Rauner has done. And then we've got to do a couple other things. Lower the cost of college debt by allowing people to refinance in a program that won't cost taxpayers anything. 12 other states have done it. We can put hundreds and thousands of dollars back on the table for many people, as well as to lower the cost of going to college by expanding the MAP grant program in the state. Those are all things that we ought to have been doing that we will now do when I win.
Let's talk about taxes for a moment. Right now, Illinois state income tax is 4.95% for everyone. And you've said repeatedly that should change, that higher income folks should pay more than the middle class. And I know that would require a lot of work on the Constitution and with the legislature. What would you do in the interim?
Well, look, we've got to balance the budget of the state. It's fundamentally not balanced. There's a kind of a structural deficit in the state budget today. For 2 years, we went without a budget because Bruce Rauner failed. And then a third year that he vetoed the budget and Republicans came together with Democrats in the legislature to override his veto. He doesn't really understand how to balance a budget. Here are the things that you need to balance a budget. Number one, you've got to look at, are there efficiencies in state government? Can we run government better? Can we invest in things that will actually lower the cost of government, like early childhood education or like prevention of diabetes in our Medicaid system or HIV testing and so on? All things that Bruce Rauner has done not a good job at. And then you've got to look at revenue. The best way to enhance revenue in the state, of course, is to create jobs. And under Bruce Rauner, fewer jobs were created during the same period of time that his predecessor had, and yet he called his predecessor a miserable failure at job creation. Well, Bruce Rauner has been a worse miserable failure at job creation. We could do so much better. So we can bring revenue into the state by enhancing. And then, I've advocated for the legalization of marijuana, which would bring $700 million, perhaps even $1 billion. That's my own estimate of revenue to the state, as well as creating jobs and production facilities and dispensaries to the state, as well as, of course, it brings some criminal justice reform benefits and safety for the public. So all those things, I think, are ways in which we can help enhance the move toward a balanced budget that I want to bring to the state.
So would you keep the flat state income tax rate the same if it takes some time to change the Constitution to allow for a graduated income tax?
Well, it does take time to change the Constitution to a graduated income tax. The fair tax system would require us to get a supermajority vote in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, and then a supermajority vote of the people of the state of Illinois. So that takes almost 2 years. Meanwhile, we still have to balance the budget, and we're going to work on that from day one. It's incredibly important for our state that we meet our obligations. Bruce Rauner's added $11 billion of additional bills to the state to a $16 billion bill backlog and cost the taxpayers $1 billion in late fees because he's the biggest deficit spender in the history of our state. We need responsible government, stable government, and that's what I bring.
My guest is J.B. Pritzker, who is a Democratic candidate for Illinois governor. If you're elected our next governor, how would you ensure that immigrants would continue to play a role in Illinois' economy?
Well, Illinois, the immigrants here in our state are playing an important role, a positive role in our economy. Many are entrepreneurs. Many have created jobs in the state. Many are hardworking, talented people who are paying taxes in our state. And frankly, it's good for the state. So I want to protect our immigrant families from the attacks by Donald Trump in Washington, by the Republicans who fundamentally just don't believe in immigration. My family, you know, were refugees to this country. When our family arrived, you know, we were given a place to live by a social service agency because they were penniless, had no place to live. We're given a public education. Learned English at a public school, and then a public higher education as well. And our family's been extraordinarily fortunate. Frankly, I think everybody should have the opportunity to succeed like that. And I'm going to make sure that that happens. I'm going to protect our immigrant population and enforce the Trust Act and make sure that we don't, you know, allow Donald Trump to dictate what our values are here in the state of Illinois.
And what about for people who are here illegally? What else needs to be done in Illinois to resolve what should be a federal problem, which doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon?
Well, we certainly need to fight for comprehensive immigration reform. That will ultimately solve the problem. But here in the state, you know, we need to protect the immigrants, whether they're documented or undocumented. Many families, by the way, are mixed, partially undocumented, partially documented. But many have gone underground because they're frightened. They're frightened because the federal government is under Donald Trump is you know, raiding, trying to send 11 or 12 million people out of this country. I think that's impractical. It's also wrong. And instead, you know, comprehensive immigration reform is the way to go, and enforcing the Trust Act, which will protect the residents of the state of Illinois.
A few weeks ago, you said you would pay back Cook County more than $300,000 in property taxes for one of your homes in Chicago. And this has been an issue throughout the campaign, how much you paid in property taxes. Previously, you defended this tax break. Why did you change your mind?
Well, I didn't change my mind. You know, what I was making sure was that there's no distraction from the real issues facing us in the state. The things that I've been fighting for, you know, have been about the kitchen table issues for most people in the state, and that's making sure that we lower the cost of their health care, lower the cost of higher education so they can send their kids to school, making sure we have vocational training in high schools, and creating jobs and raising wages. And those are the, I think, most important things to the people of the state. And so I just wanted to avoid any distraction. The fact is that we did a renovation project, and we halted the project because we weren't sure if that project would be sold or it would be put up for rent. And then we restarted the project. We paid all the taxes that were assessed on the property. And frankly, this was a distraction by Bruce Rauner, who has taken 22 property tax reassessments on his own properties, including two for parking spaces that he owns. And then he's illegally taken three homestead exemptions in the state. And then he proposed raising property taxes on people across the state by $1 billion. He doesn't want to talk about any of that.
We just have about a minute left, so I just want to ask you our last question that we've been asking all of the candidates, which is that one of the jobs of the governor is to be a cheerleader for Illinois. How would you sell our state to potential residents and businesses?
Well, I'm really excited to do that because I know what's great about the people, about the state of Illinois. It's the people of Illinois. We have some of the most educated, dedicated workers in the entire world. That's very attractive to businesses for job creation and so on. Bruce Rauner has been bad-mouthing the state for 4 years. He not only bad-mouths it everywhere he goes in the state of Illinois, but then he leaves the state and invites other governors to go on TV bad-mouthing the state. I think you want somebody who's going to fight for Illinois. We've got challenges. We need to overcome those challenges. But meanwhile, the governor should be, as you said, the cheerleader. It should be the chief marketing officer for the state and talking about the great universities and colleges that we've got here so we can attract students, not drive them away. away the way that Bruce Rauner has. We should be talking about the quality of our workforce, which attracts businesses, not drives them away the way Bruce Rauner does. And frankly, we've got to make the state more livable in lowering the cost of health care for people, and that will, and lowering property taxes too. Those are things that will keep people in our state and keep them from leaving our borders. I'm really excited about the future of the state, because we need to turn this aircraft carrier in the direction of putting Springfield back on the side of working families. And, you know, the state is a big aircraft carrier, so you got to turn it in the right direction, and then we got to propel it in that direction. Unfortunately, under Bruce Rauner, he's been propelling it and aiming it in the wrong direction.
That's J.B. Pritzker, who was running to be our next Illinois governor. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
Support for the 21st comes from University of Illinois Press, publishers of New Media Futures, The Rise of Women in the Digital Arts. A symposium featuring these trailblazing women will take place on Friday, October 26th at NCSA, the University of Illinois Press, celebrating 100 years.